Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we look forward to Super Sunday in Clonus. It's Donegal against Cavan in an Ulster Championship doubleheader for the men and the ladies. Both games, of course, will be live here on Highland this Sunday afternoon. And on a preview tonight, we'll be joined by two former All-Stars from each county, Martin McHugh of Donegal and Dermot McCabe of Cavan. Plus, we'll be hearing from Donegal ladies manager Maxi Curran as well. Mickey McCann also tells us what he expects on Saturday when he takes the Donegal Hurlers to play Warwickshire in England in the Nicky Rackard Cup. And later, Gavin Cullen will look ahead to Finn Harp's trip to the champion Shamrock Rovers in the Premier Division of the SSE Airtrusty League. We'll also be getting his thoughts on the current leaders Derry City hosting Bohemians. And it's with Gaelic games we begin. Donegal and Cavan will, of course, lock horns this Sunday for the right to a place in the 2022 Ulster Senior Championship Final. St Jernic's Park and Clonus will host their semi-final meeting, with Donegal having a score to settle after losing to the Breffni men in the provincial final 2 years ago. Donegal go into the tie following a huge win over Armagh Balbuffet in the quarterfinals, while Cavan came into the championship as Division 4 champions and kicked off their campaign with a 13-point win over Antrim. Declan Bonner's side will be seen as favourites for the game, but on past experience, they know Cavan can be trouble. On a big game preview this week, I've been speaking to two All-Stars off the game from Donegal and Cavan, and Martin McHugh and Dermot McCabe.
Dermot, first time having you on, so it's great to see you and good to talk to you. How's life in Cavan at the moment? I know you're a very busy man, and you, as we said, a former Ulster winner and All-Star, and you played your part in Cavan football. You were assistant manager last year to Mickey Graham. You're the current coaching officer in the Breffni County. So I would say life's busy for you at the moment, is it, Dermot?
Yeah, first off, thanks very much, Oisin, on the invitation. Yeah, I suppose it's a big weekend. We had our under-20s out a couple of weeks ago and seniors and minors out the first weekend. This weekend we have our minors and our seniors out, and hopefully we're confident, or quietly confident in both games, and that we can get a result.
Is there a confidence then, you're saying, and Cavan, that Cavan can overturn Donegal again? Because it was a bit of a shock a couple of years ago. Would it be seen as such a big shock if it was to happen again, Dermot?
I suppose Cavan had a so-so sort of league campaign, but I suppose tactically the games are very difficult in that it's packed defences and it's very closed up and stop-start probably in Division 4. Cavan were building towards getting promotion and got that. And then a key of a potential stumbling block, sort of Corrigan Park or nowhere sort of approach, you know, was a danger. And Cavan were very comprehensive, were, I would say, very impressive and very well structured in that game. And they would take confidence on that. They have won the Division 4 Cup. They were comfortable in Corrigan Park. And they've checked all the boxes so far. So I think the players might look at it and say that, you know, they would have felt they performed the best in 2020 in that Ulster final, and maybe didn't get the recognition that perhaps they deserved, that maybe people were saying that Donegal took it for granted, and maybe they might want to go out and prove that it was no fluke and that it can repeat that success.
Yeah. We'll bring Martin in. Martin, you, of course, have a second home in Cavan, and Dermot was one of your stars in helping you win an Ulster title in 1997. Are this Cavan team, Martin, in your eyes, any closer to getting another Ulster title? Can they follow on in any sort of way from 2020? Or as some might say, that they haven't got the recognition that they deserved a couple of years ago. And can they progress on, can they?
Well, probably the people looked at it from the game and 2 years ago was that it was played in the winter time, and it was played, maybe people are saying, a tight pitch in Armagh and everything else. And now that the Clonus pitch is a lot wider, it'll be a harder sod and everything else. I don't buy into that at all. I thought Cavan were the better side that day, and they had some great victories coming back from maybe 9-10 points down against Monaghan and against Down earlier on. So, you know, and Cavan played really well that day. And I think looking at the two teams now up to the Armagh game, and I don't know what we can read into the Armagh game, and hopefully we don't read as much into the Armagh game as we did players, management, the county and all 2 years ago when we beat Armagh and Breffni Park in that Ulster semi-final. Everybody thought it was only a matter of Donegal turning up for everybody was chatting up for the Ulster final, and everybody was talking about playing Dublin. And I think, you know, looking at it from that time, and I know Cavan are playing Division 4, but I was at the game against Antrimos down on the sideline right beside them. They're physically a far bigger team than they were 2 years ago. They have Conor Moyna, who's a big player for them, back that didn't play that day. And you know, they're going into this game the way they want to go into themselves. Nobody really outside Cavan giving them a chance, and maybe nobody outside the players and the management is the same maybe as the last time giving them a chance. I think Cavan, actually, since 2 years ago, even though people say they're playing Division 4, I think Cavan have improved really up to the Armagh game, and I don't know what to make of the Armagh game. I felt Donegal had gone back, Oisin, since that game 2 years ago. So I think this game is more of a toss of a coin, and I wouldn't agree with the bookies and everybody else what people are saying. I think this will go down to the wire on Sunday.
Yeah. Would you agree with Martin maybe that Cavan are a better team than what they were a couple of years ago then, Dermot?
Well, a lot of the bones of the team is still there. A lot of the conditioning work would have continued. I know tactically they would have got more astute in how they play and how they manage games. So you would like to think, while some of the experiences weren't great, that they are a lot more experienced. And now this bunch of players, you know, they've played in two Ulster finals, winning one of them. So you would like to think that there's a solid base of experience there and they can handle this type of occasion on Sunday.
I was saying about Donegal, Dermot, what's your take on Donegal following their win against Armagh? Because it was a huge result for Declan Boner's side, because a lot of people were tipping Armagh to be the next kingpins of Ulster, and that's not going to happen now because of an excellent Donegal performance.
Yeah, look at it. We talk about experience. There's not much more experienced teams than Donegal, you know, in this competition, and definitely left in the competition in Ulster. They're always managed to retain their Division 1 status, which has always been massive. And you know, their key players are going extremely well. The Ryan McHughes, Heather Mogans, Owen Bond, Gallagher, Michael Murphy is back to himself. And then I suppose the added addition that I suppose where Cavan will worry about is the performance of Jason McGee the last day, and then Michael Langan in 2019 would have caused Cavan a lot of difficulties with his size and physique at wing half forward. So, you know, you would think that they're going quite well, they're firing quite well, but hopefully, you know, what I feel is critical parts is probably the matchups on who's going to take who and in what position of the field will they have to take each other on. And then the other element is, I suppose, gaining possession is key for everything, and that's through the kickouts. You know, will teams press? Donegal generally try to press the kickouts. Will they do that on Sunday and force Cavan long? Will that suit Cavan, because Cavan are a lot of big men around the middle toward? And what will Cavan do on the Donegal kickouts? You know, Patton has a tremendous length to his kickout. The fear is if you push up on that, like in 2019, some of these kickouts can go over the top and they're in on goal. Or do you choose to give the kick out up, and who do you give that kick out up to as regards personnel? So those are the major factors for me as regards that'll decide the game.
Yeah. Martin, you're normally good with your matchups and picking who's going to take on who. What's the matchups going to be on Sunday?
It's very hard to know, you know. Suppose we look at it and we go back to looking at last Sunday's, the Tyrone-Derry game. Like, Derry got all the matchups right, and Tyrone normally are very, very good at it, and it probably cost them the fact that they didn't put Conor Myler start him on Gareth McInnes in the middle of the field, probably nearly cost the match, because McInnes was the big player the first half. So matchups, as Dermot says, is going to be important. That midfield area is going to be very important. And the kickouts we talked about, both goalkeepers have very big kickouts, long kickouts they want. They're very good going short, and they're good keepers. Now, Donegal did press the Armagh keeper, Ethan Rafferty. They pressed up on him and all that there, but it's different kettle of fish with Raymond Galligan, because Galligan can kick long, and where they knew that Ethan Rafferty hadn't got a long kick out, and so that they could afford to press. Now, the press is dangerous in a way. If it works, it's okay, but if it goes wrong, like Tyrone tried to press the second half of 14 men against Derry, and if Derry won the kick out, they were through, maybe creating a goal chance right away. So kick out's important. Matchups will be, you expect Conor Brady, who's actually from Dermot's club, will probably pick up Michael Langan, probably two big men, both of them normally play in the middle of the field, so they'll be made for each other. And then the midfield battle, Jason McGee with Thomas Galligan is going to be a big battle in that area. Two great fetchers of the ball, both of them. And, you know, James Smith will probably go to full forward and he'll start inside with Paddy Lynch. Who will Donegal put on him? It's probably Steve McMenamin will pick up James Smith, and then he comes out the field. Maybe even Keelan Ward could follow him when he comes, if he presses, pushes out the field a bit, and expect Brendan McCall to pick up Paddy Lynch. So I just think that, you know, from Cavan's point of view, what matchups they put Jason McLaughlin the last time and Ryan McHugh, they pushed him up to the half hour line. Probably might do the same thing again. They were probably happy enough with his performance that day. The Michael Murphy battle is will they go with Killian Clark and Michael Murphy, or will they leave Killian Clark in the middle of the field? And because he's been very good in the middle of the field, winning a lot of ball in that area and turnovers, and he won a lot of ball against Antrim. So I think that they might go with Pádraig Faulkner, maybe at fullback on Michael Murphy plays inside. And then who's going to pick up Patrick McBrady? That's probably the big ones. They'll be the big matchups, and they're the ones that they feel, if they can get them, if Cavan especially get that right, that they have a great chance.
Yeah. Dermot mentioned there about the big men around the middle. Will Donegal play all of the big men, Martin, if they're all fit to go? Obviously, Michael Langan, Jason McGee, and Keelan McGonigal, who came on as a sub the last day. All big men, all fantastic footballers and fetching in the air. They have the physicality for it. Do you play all three on Sunday?
Well, I'd say that they're probably not. I'd say they'd probably go close to the same team that played against Armagh. And, you know, the bench is very important. And I was a wee bit worried about the Donegal bench that day, you know, because Keelan McGonigal hadn't played a lot of football, but he did well when he came in. So he's a big plus to have to come into the team. You know, I thought Shane O'Donnell is another player that came of age the last day. It was brilliant in the championship game for Donegal. And he gives Donegal another option up front, another player to be marked. I think the bench will be important. So I think they'll hold one of them. And it probably will be Keelan McGonigal, feeling that he hasn't got enough football time in yet to maybe to start the game. And I mean, but it's very important to have two or three good players to come off the bench. And I think the bench could be the difference on Sunday, because it's going to be important. A big Clonus pitch, paying 80 minutes and everything else. The subs are very, very important to have players to come on. Just like Derry dropped Emmett Bradley the last day, but he came on. He was really, really good. I think you need an impact from the bench. It's important to have that.
Yeah. What about Orr McFadden Ferry, Martin? Does Declan Bonner shuffle the pack? He was a regular starter. He was the regular cornerback, and then he got suspended. And listen, the performance that Donegal put in the last day against Armagh, how hard is it for Declan Bonner to change that 15? Would you put Orr McFadden Ferry back in?
Well, I think that goes in, if he wants another marker in defence, he would go with him as a marker, Orr McFadden Ferry. You know, he's unlucky with everything that he lost out the last day, and Donegal played that well. It's hard to see Donegal changing the team. Again, he's a good man to come on. The chances are you're going to pick up maybe a yellow card. You could pick up, and you might have replaced a player early on if you get a yellow card early on, or you know, an injury or anything like that there, or maybe even sending off or something like that can happen and change the game. So I think it's important to have player. I don't know, maybe I would expect him maybe to hold Orr McFadden Ferry, to have him to just go with the team the way the team played so well, especially the defence played very well the last day against Armagh. Now, I don't like reading too much into Armagh, because when we look at Armagh's record, it's been very, very poor. And they're probably of the big so-called five in Ulster, or six in Ulster, whatever you have, you know, looking at Antrim down in Fermanagh, maybe are behind the rest, but then you feel that Armagh are the worst of them teams. So I hope Donegal don't read too much into this Armagh game, because Armagh were very, very disappointing. And they were playing championship, Oisín, in my opinion, in the first two games of the league, when everybody else were just getting ready for the league, and they were at championship pace that time. And that's the only two games they really won. They beat Kildare then, lucky enough, afterwards. But that's the only games they won. So I hope we don't read as much as we read the last time into it, and we get ready, because this is going to be a real battle on Sunday. Two very experienced teams, and two physically very, very strong teams as well. And Cavan definitely are a lot more physical power even they had 2 years ago.
Yeah. Martin mentioned there, Dermot, about how important the Donegal bench is going to be. How important is the Cavan bench going to be? Because Cian Madden came off it in that final a couple of years ago and scored 1-2. What's the strength like of the current Cavan bench, Dermot?
First of all, Oisín, I hope the Donegal read very much into the Armagh performance and take huge bonuses from it. I suppose we would have Kieran Brady, who would have been a regular for us for the last 5-8 years, and he's just coming back from injury. So I'd be hoping that he would be in contention, and maybe definitely there'd be able to be some minutes into him. Martin Riley has huge experience and would have come on the last day and was instrumental in getting the goal against Antrim. So hopefully he has got more game time in the weeks in between and training. So you're hoping that he would be available and an option. And as you mentioned, Conor Madden is always a sort of an outlet there and got the fantastic goal in the Ulster final. So I can't imagine, I suppose, there being too many changes, I suppose, like Donegal, from the last day because they've done so well. But it'd just be interesting, perhaps, where they may be played. I suppose from 2 years ago when we played, we tried to not allow sort of matchups to happen in the positions they were. So we would have felt that Owen Brown Gallagher was going to go to centre back and Giroud. So we moved Giroud to the middle of the field, which may have been a little bit of help to walk over that. So Mickey and the management team will have decisions to make in relation to that. Martin already mentioned about Jason McLaughlin moving up to half forward to try and curb Ryan McHugh. That'll be another big decision. And in that particular game, Killian Clarke was on Paddy McBrearty and Pádraig Faulkner was on Jamie Brennan. So I suppose Mickey and his management team will be wondering, do we switch? There will be major switches to switch around, as Killian has been doing very well in the middle of the field. But that would be his dilemma and debate, I'd say, over these last few days. Is that the way he lines out his team, or does he restructure slightly?
Yeah, you, of course, have been part of Mickey's management team. Is there another trick in the book to come from him, do you think?
I hope there's many more tricks in the book to come from him, and that opportunities arise this weekend and we take them. I think Cavan are sitting in quite a nice position. At times struggles, but we don't know what was being done at training. We don't know how heavy training was through the league, but they got the cup and got that done. And then, as I say, had a very convincing win in Corrigan Park. So I'm hoping that the players and management will be going with great confidence and the supporters won't be screaming from the roofs, but we'll be quietly confident that we can get a very good performance on Sunday.
Okay, Martin, Donegal done all their talking on the pitch the last day. There was a lot of stuff being said away from the actual game, obviously in the lead-up to suspensions and different things, and pundits had a go at Donegal and was saying various different things. But Donegal didn't get dragged into any of that. They done all the talking on the pitch. Donegal will be seen as raging hot favourites for this game, but it's a matter of keeping that format. Do your talking on the pitch and don't let anything else have an effect or matter, Martin.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Oisín. And I think, you know, we look at the whole thing of the build up to the maybe even the Throne Derry game and the Armagh Donegal game was all about suspensions and getting suspensions off, and, you know, going up to Dublin to fight it with solicitors and barristers and everything else. And maybe both Armagh maybe and Tyrone put a lot of their energy into that rather than, as you said, putting the energy into maybe on the field, which is the most important thing. And, you know, both of them were very disappointing on the day, you know, the two teams. So I think that looking at that there, maybe, you know, from Donegal's point of view, it's important that they don't concentrate on it after, you know, I know Declan Bonner was talking about it after the game and everybody was blaming the CCCC and everybody else was to blame. I think in the end, it was important that you concentrate on the team and the game and what you have the ability to look after yourself. I think that's very, very important. And I think it's important to stay like that there. This is a different game. That Armagh Donegal game was classed as maybe even Armagh slightly favourites. Donegal are going in this time as warm favourites, and Donegal don't do favourites well. We never have done favourites well in Donegal. So I think this is a very difficult game. I hear everybody that I'm talking to saying, oh, Donegal won't make the same mistake again. They won't take their eye off the ball and all that there. It's actually saying the exact same thing as happened 2 years ago. And they know, you know what happens if you don't perform. Tyrone found out that against Derry. They went in as red-hot favourites, didn't perform. Football's all on the day, and that's when it's played. And the hungrier team won always. And that's just a bit of fear I would have in Donegal. The people are talking about our favourites for Ulster, everything else about it. You have to every game to play, and you have to go out and perform, because if you don't, you know, somebody in Cavan was on to me that history's going to repeat itself. 1997, 25 years ago, Derry and Cavan met in the Ulster final. So they're saying that might happen again. So, look, hopefully from a Donegal point of view, that doesn't happen. But if Donegal are not well prepared, not ready, not right, everything about is right. It was easy getting ready the last day. As you said, there were a lot of talk. It was all about Armagh, it was all about the suspended players, it was all about Rian O'Neill, it was all about this. This time, you know, it's different. This time is different, and it's important that Donegal have prepared right. And, you know, it'll still, in my opinion, it'll go down to the wire.
Is it going to go to the wire just finally then, Dermot McCabe?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a big pile in it. I think whoever really, I know we talked about before, is the kickouts and sort of gains that possession on both sides of the teams, with Hugh McFadden, Jason McGee, Michael Langan, Michael Murphy. On our side, you have James Smith, Thomas Galley and Killian Clarke. A lot of big James Smith. You have a lot of sort of big players in there. So that middle third is going to be vital. And as regards who can gain the most possession and get it in, I suppose in Cavan's hope, we're hoping with James Smith and Paddy Lynch inside that now we have, you know, the ball winners, consistent ball winners and score getters in there that can cause a lot of hassle to defenders. And that definitely was the case the last day. And we hope that that continues on Sunday.
How do you handle Michael Murphy, Dermot?
With great difficulty, Oisin. I suppose, you know, he's so elusive in that he goes into different places. You know, we put 1/2, I would say, markers on him in 2019. And I would say that unselfish of him, or wisely of him, he possibly sacrificed his game that day, created spaces for opposition, didn't really handle that much of the ball, but completely opened us up by his movement. And if you recall that Paddy McGrerty and Jamie Brennan that day made hay, he has the capacity to do that and read the game. And then if things were difficult and ball needed to be won, he has the capacity to go and do that. So it's an extremely difficult battle, but you have to have a man that's going to go with him and be with him and beside him on most occasions in the game.
Well, we'll wait to see how that develops. Dermot Martin mentioned it there, 25 years since guys won the Ulster title. 25 years since you got your All-Star as well. Was it the manager in place, or was it the class and caliber of the players that proved to be the fruit of the success that year, Dermot?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I think it was a combination. I suppose Cavan had gone through, Martin came in 95 or the end of 94, and Cavan had gone through quite a bad spell of 6 or 8 first round defeats. And in that 3 years, we got to 2 finals and won 1. So he must have something right in relation to that. So just, I suppose, standards, collectiveness, planned training, a bit of a sort of a game plan, you know, all those type of things that were only coming new to the game. And the game has changed even so much more since. But that started to come into Cavan and come into progression. And at that time, you had a big physical team in Cavan. You had youngsters coming in, and you had some very, very good experienced players on the team as well. The combination worked extremely well for those few years. And thankfully, we got a little bit of success.
Yeah. You're still looking after him down there, Shuser?
Yeah, nonstop.
Still getting the free dinners always in Cavan. Stopped a couple of years ago, all right, but it's not too bad. Not too bad. I think listening to all that there, I think I'm ready to go back into management.
Who would take him, Dermot? Listen, Dermot, good to have you on the program. Good to speak to you and good to see you. And I would say I wish you all the best in the game at the weekend, but from me and Martin's point of view, we'll be hoping that it's a Donegal success. But listen, enjoy Clonus, because it's great to be back in Clonus. Great to be back playing football in what is seen as the home of the Ulster Championship, and we're looking forward to what hopefully will be a very, very good game.
Thank you, Oisin. Thanks for the invite. Nice to talk.
No problem. See you, Oisin. Take care. Bye.
Dermot McCabe and Martin McHugh joining me in the big match preview. Don't forget, for the senior game, the second match of the doubleheader, 4:00 is the start time, and it will, of course, be fully live here on Highland. Well, the Donegal senior ladies begin their Ulster Championship on Sunday in the opening match at Clonus. That's also live from the 1:45 throw-in. Donegal have had the upper hand on the Cavan ladies in recent seasons, but Maxi Kern is fully aware that they can cause his side problems. A place in the final against Armagh is up for grabs for the winners. I've been talking to the county's senior ladies boss this week. So Maxi, looking forward to the championship opener against Cavan. The championship beckons in what, a couple of days' time. So far this year, Maxi, what have you made of 2022 for the Donegal senior ladies, and what are the positives that you can take into the championship now this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's been a really good year so far for us. You know, we reached the National League final the second time in our history, and look, that in itself was a great achievement for the girls. You know, getting the run out in Croke Park was something we feel will be of big benefit to us down the line in terms of the experience gained on the day and the experience of playing on a big day, you know, against a team as good as me there. So, you know, that has obviously been the highlight. But yeah, look, we feel we've progressed as a team, which we always, you know, plan to do. And, you know, we've got a couple of players back in that haven't been around for a while, a couple of new players, you know, got a bit of experience on the field as well. So yeah, look, we think it's been a very successful year so far.
Yeah, one of those players was Tanya Kennedy, who came back from Australia. And I know at the time ahead of the league final that if they were going to get game time at Croke Park, both herself and the returning Niamh Hegarty, it was going to be all about preparation for the championship of those two girls, Maxi.
Yeah, look, and you know, you've seen straight away when Eve came on, the quality that she brings. You know, she has a, you know, she's just got a way of playing football that so she has no equal in Donegal anyway. And you know, she's just been a fabulous player for Donegal down through the years, and it's brilliant to have her back. Tanya's been out for a lot longer, I suppose, and she would have done well. She's got a very tough task when she went on to go on to Vicky Wall, and she's done that very well for a girl playing her first game, so to come back after 10 odd years and, you know, recommence your career in Croke Park, it's a big ask, and it's a big occasion for Tanya. So look, those girls have been now, they've probably a month's training done now since the National League final, so you know they'll be well built on at this stage. So yeah, look, like the rest, and just round to go now and get a crack at those championship.
Yeah, you like pulling a rabbit out of a hat every now and then, Max. Have you made any more additions, have you, since the league final, or are you happy with the squad that you have now?
No, we have what we have now. Yeah, look, we're happy enough. And look, Tanya's a girl we probably can't have her eye on for this last couple of years, and trying to, you know, make moves to see if she could come back, and things just fell into place this year. Neve, we were always very hopeful she'd come back at some point, but she just needed a wee bit of an extra break to get the body right. So yeah, look, they were two massive additions, we feel, and you know, they're adding to an already healthy squad.
Yeah. What's the player personnel like going into this game, Max? It's a huge game, obviously. Do you have any concerns over players injury wise ahead of the tie?
Yeah, look, we always have a couple, you know, but this is still 5 days out from the game, so we've time to see how people respond in the next week or so. You know, the more you train, the more risk there is of injury, and the game going back a week allowed us an extra week's training, and you know, this time of year it's going to be fairly tough, so you know, you always are going to run the risk of picking up those wee knocks and that. So yeah, look, we have a couple, but look, we'll see how they go tonight, and hopefully they'll all come through.
Yeah, would you envisage many changes from the team which lined out at Croke Park from the team that's going to start the championship, Max?
No, not really. Look, as I said, it'll depend on the couple of wee niggles we have. Look, I'm not going to go into it now at the minute. You know, there's a couple of wee girls that need a bit of time, and you know, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days it takes, you know, that's what it'll take. So, fingers crossed, we can get everybody on the pitch at the weekend.
Listen, the occasion is huge for the Donegal ladies, Max. It's part of the big double header against Cavan. How important was it from an LGFA point of view in the county to have this game as part of the men's tie as well in Clonus?
Yeah, look, I think it's a brilliant occasion for the LGFA in Donegal. I think every time there's a doubleheader anywhere in the country, I think it's a great occasion for the LGFA. It's been the ladies' football as a product that's improving in quality all the time. The standard is really rising, and what the double header does, it gives people that may not have gone to watch them play before a chance to go and and see the quality of the football that they're able to produce. And you know, more often than not, people who come and see them for the first time, you know, go out the door with a real heightened appreciation of the quality of the football the girls can play, and you know, the standard that the Donegal team is operating at anyway. So from that perspective, you know, the promotional end of it is massive, and it's a great shop window for the girls to showcase ladies football. And then look, from our own perspective in terms of our goals for the year, playing on a day like Sunday in Clonus adds a bit of pressure to the occasion, and adds, you know, a few more elements to the girls to consider. And you know, I always feel that that's of great value looking down the line. You know, even having got to Croke Park the last day is something that adds a bit of pressure. And you know, if we would happen to get back to Croke Park another day this year, we feel we'll be better for having experience at the bank already. And you know, the same goes with the Cavan game on Sunday. As I say, it does add a wee bit of heightened stress levels to the occasion. So, you know, if we get through that, again, we feel to be better for that. So there's, look, it's a win-win situation for everybody. And even the Donegal supporters that do go and watch the both teams, you know, they're able to see the two in the one go and the one less day out of the house, and sure, appreciated by everybody.
Yeah, and listen, Max, Clonus has already been a happy hunting ground for you this year. You beat Dublin there in the semi-final.
Yeah, look, we have. And look, we won a couple of their finals against our man Monaghan there in recent times as well. So yeah, look, I'd say I always feel it is the spiritual home of football in Ulster, and Donegal have had a lot of very good days in Clonus over the last 10 years or so, and we feel that it's a great location for the game. You know, it's close to Cavan, so there'll be a big Cavan crowd in attendance, and Donegal fans aren't shy about travelling either. So look, we think it could be a great occasion, and you know, it's a great day for football in both codes.
What about Cavan then? What's the opposition going to be like at the weekend for you, Maxa?
Well, Kevin, our team have caused us plenty of difficulty over the last couple of years. We played them in the semi-final last year and we were 1-6 that point down after about 15 minutes. So, look, we really had to, you know, sort ourselves out at the water break in half-time and to get back on top of that one. We came through it all right in the end. And then 2019, about 15 minutes to go, we were 6 points down and we managed to get that one to extra time and catch them an extra time. So, look, Kevin will have no fear of Donegal. They've been playing Division 2 this last couple of years and you know they're been neck and neck in a lot of the games they played, and you know there's a couple of very good footballers. We get Gerlin Sheridan up front as a, you know, as a real handful, and the likes of Sinead Green, the halfback, and the guards are around for a long time. So look, this Cavan team is as most Cavan teams are, not like any confidence or any belief, and you know they'll come on Sunday with a, I think with a big Cavan crowd behind them, and they'll come with all guns blazing, and look, we'll have to be in top shape to get the better of them.
Yeah, Armagh awaiting the final. I'm sure you watched Armagh's fantastic one against Monaghan last week. They made a big statement, so they did, Maxie, last Sunday.
Aye, they did. Aye, yeah. Look, both semi-finals last year were similar score lines, and I think that's the thing about Lilly's football. Look, you can pull away from somebody very quickly with the, you know, the frequency of the goals are scored, and you know you can make the. You can definitely embellish the scoreboard, and maybe doesn't always give a true reflection of where the teams are at. But the two teams played out a league match at the end at the start of March, and there was 3 points between them. So you know, I don't think that's a fair reflection of where Monaghan are. They're that far behind, and you know, probably our own game with Cavan ended in a similar scoreline last year. But it was only the fact that we got the 6 goals, you know, that made it look that way. And you know, for anybody who's at the game, they'd have seen how tight a contest that was, and the score didn't reflect the position of the two teams at either. So look, I wouldn't read too much into the score lines, but look, Armagh, the current Ulster champions, beat us last year by a point, and they themselves are going for 3 in a row. We would have 3 in a row, 17, 18 and 19. So look, if we could manage it over Cavan on Sunday, it's definitely one we'll need very little motivation for anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously that game at Hayley Park last year, and you also alluded to the 3 in a row that Donegal had won before. Can you see that hunger that was in the group during the 3 in a row maybe back this year again, Max, and as you try and get a provincial crown once again?
Yeah, look, the COVID situation affected every walk of everybody's life, and no more so the Ulster Championship and provincial competitions and all the other provinces fell by the wayside. Ulster did manage to have one, albeit with 2 teams in 2020. So look, we were keen to get back at it last year, and I think the structure of it last year didn't help matters. It was played 2 weeks after the Dublin All-Ireland quarter-final. So look, we had a big job to pick everybody up off the floor after the Dublin game. And the competition last year had no relevance in the All-Ireland series. This year it's back to the old way where the Ulster champions are seeded as top seeds in the All-Ireland stages. So look, there's a big prize looking down the line as well for that, in terms of being the Ulster champions. But look, apart from that, there's just a level of personal pride. And as you mentioned, a bite and a hunger that the Gaelics feel that look, last year they didn't, they were better than the performance they gave in Omagh that day. And you know, we would feel that we give ourselves an awful head start. You know, they scored about 2-4 in the space of 7 or 8 minutes midway through the first half, and we left ourselves with a mountain to climb that we just weren't able to get over. So we feel, you know, it's a challenge we would relish to get another go at Armagh.
There you go, that's Maxie Curran. Both of those games, of course, Donegal and Cavan, taking place on Sunday. We will be live from 1:30 from Clonus. The action on Saturday gets up and running football-wise with the Minor Championship in Ulster. There's round 2 qualifier games to take part, but the North West sides are all involved in the front door of the Championship in round 2. 2 of the 3 North West counties will clash. Derry are hosting Donegal at Owen Beg. That one starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday. There's a preview of that game. We hear from both managers and Martin Boyle of Derry and Luke Barrett of Donegal, available now in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Also on Saturday, Tyrone are taking on Antrim. That game's at Corrigan Park and it starts at 6 o'clock. There's also under-17 Celtic Challenge hurling taking place on Saturday. Tyrone up against Fermanagh and Donegal are taking on Cavan. Meanwhile, the Donegal senior hurlers are off to Park Erin in Birmingham, England this weekend as they look to maintain their unbeaten run in the Nicky Rackard Cup against Warwickshire. Along with Roscommon and Tyrone, Donegal are battling for a place in the final, and the no-2 wins from their remaining 2 games would give them a place in that the sider. Before the last game against Tyrone, Donegal will meet the English side, who are bottom of the group and without a win. Manager Mickey McCann says their opponents are not to be taken lightly this weekend.
Those were unbeaten, Tom, and everything's in their own hands at the minute. Just points slide away, and Letterkenny against Roscommon, with 5 or 6 up in the second half, you know, and then lucky to hang on, but felt we probably could have won that game with a better team on the day. So, still in our own hands, Tom. 2 victories gets us to a Nicky record final. So, once in your own hand, you've only yourself to blame if you don't qualify, you know. So, all they play for from here on.
And in Warwickshire this weekend, taking on Warwickshire in Birmingham, on paper at least, it should be easy. They're kind of the whipping boys in this championship so far, aren't they?
Yeah, they've been struggling, look, and teams are putting up high scores against them, Tom. I suppose if the same personnel there, we'll be hot favourites. You just don't know when you go over there who they can bring in or what element surprise they can land on you. So they definitely will be hot favourites going on there, Tom. And if they get 5 or 6 new players in from the team that's been playing week in, week out, we should have enough, Tom. But we've been there before against Warwickshire, we were hot favourites, and they turned us over. So we'll be not taking them lightly, Tom. But I think if we put a solid performance in, it should be enough for us, you know.
And are you going with a strong team?
Yeah, we are, Tom. Everybody's going, you know. So we're not taking it lightly at all. And the injury front's not too bad. Just Bernard Lafferty's still struggling. And out for another couple of weeks, Tom. If you got to final, he might be available. But apart from that, everybody else is clean bill of health, you know.
Yeah. The one thing that's been very noticeable is the other teams, and especially Roscommon, obviously, and Tyrone, who are in that three-horse race for the two positions, have put up big scores against Warwickshire. Is that your objective?
Yeah, well, the first objective is to win the game, Tom, and then if it opens up for you, surely we'll be trying to get the score difference up. But the main thing is getting 2 points on the board, which leads us in the last day that we play Tyrone. If we won, we'll be in a final, you know. So there's definitely high scores, even Fermanagh beat them by a big margin the last day out. So look, first and foremost, it'll be the 2 points we'll be clinging, and then if it arises for us, we'll try to put the scores on the board then, you know.
And of course, obviously, the other big game this weekend is Roscommon and Tyrone and Dr. Hyde Park. That's a huge game for both of those.
It is, Tom, and I said at the start, it's probably the most competitive Nicky record in a long time. And you take Tyrone's up to Division 2B now after 1-3A, and Roscommon's been Crusty Ring hurling since 2016-17, and it's the first year down. So, and then ourselves for Nicky Racket Champions a couple of years ago. So look, it's very, very competitive, and I think any of them three teams from here on could win it, you know, and we're all capable of beating one another. So a very interesting result will come out of Hyde Park on Saturday, and we'll be keeping a close eye on it, you know.
You go to Tyrone next weekend, obviously, as well. So that's certainly the result in Roscommon could determine how difficult or how easy that's going to be.
Yeah, well, if Tyrone won, they'll be in the Nicky Racket final. But in saying that, I think that they'll still put a formidable force up to us. They'll not want to get beat through the group stages at all, Tom. So I think if it's going to go down possibly next week, next week's going to be like a Nicky Racket semi-final, really, considering we get out of Warwickshire with 2 points. So a big 2 weeks for us, Tom, now. Get over and get back from England, hopefully injury-free, and prepare probably for a Nicky Racket semi-final next week away to Tyrone, which is repeated last year. And we all know that Tyrone turned us over on the day, you know, and they're actually stronger this year. They've a few new boys in, and that management team has them 2 seasons now. So I think they're well-prepared, Tom. They're unbeaten so far this year, and Tyrone's going to be a formidable force, especially if they get out of Roscommon unbeaten, you know.
For you, as you say, Saturday is important thing to win the game and maybe put up a big score.
Yeah, so no, 2 points is the main thing, Tom. That keeps your own hands state, anyway. We don't know what Warwickshire team's going to take the field, so we'll be keeping our own house in order, and we have a strong team travelling over. So if the scores arise, surely we'll be going for scores. But first and foremost, get the 2 points, and that keeps the ring alive for Saturday week, you know.
That's Mickey McCann speaking to Tom Comack. Also in the competition, there's a massive game at Dr. Hyde Park on Saturday with Roscommon taking on Tyrone. We could see some changes to the top positions in the Nicky Rackard Cup standings after Saturday heading into next week's final weekend. Derry are also in action in the Christy Ring on Sunday as they take on London. There's an early start of 12 noon there for Derry in that game. And just back to football on Sunday, Tyrone are in the All-Ireland Series at under 20 level. They are taking on Kerry, and that is in a semi-final tie. There's a 1 o'clock start to that fixture on Sunday afternoon noon for the Tyrone under 20 footballers. Club wise, there is full programmes to take place in the Donegal All County Leagues on the football and hurling front this coming weekend. The hurling action starts tomorrow Friday night with three games down for decision. Among them, the leaders Setanta are up against Dunloe. Then on Saturday, due to the senior men playing on Sunday, all the games are on Saturday at club level. The top four will meet in Division 1. The leaders Neve Connell take on third place Bundoran. That's joint third place Bundoran. While the others, one of the other sides sitting in joint third, St Eunan's, are taking on second place Glenfinn. There's a top of the table clash in Division 2. The joint leaders are Malham and Fannet Gaels. They will meet on Saturday evening at 6:30. That game taking place in Inishowen. And among the games in Division 3, the joint leaders are Neve Padraic Muff and Burt. Both are playing at home against Neve Ulton and Pettigo respectively. Moving on now to football. The latest round of games in the League of Ireland Premier Division continue on Friday night with Finn Harps on the road at the Tallaght Stadium taking on the defending champions Shamrock Rovers. Harps go to Dublin missing key players in Eli Gilenzai, Dave Webster and Ryan Connolly. Derry City have been flying high at the top of the division and Bohemians will visit the league leaders tomorrow evening. In this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Finn Harps keeper and captain Gavin Cullen, who feels Harps will be up against it against Shamrock Rovers, and they'll be up against it even to try and get a point on Friday night.
It's probably the toughest task in the League of Ireland is to go to Shamrock Rovers and get a result. Obviously they're down bodies and the squad is light anyway. The bench and strength and depth isn't there this season. So look, it's hard to hold out much hope, but look, they'll go down obviously with the defensive setup, try to frustrate the game, try and fight for every ball, and you never know in football what can happen or what the result can be. But look, I don't see this. It's nearly a free game for Harps as such. I don't think the expectations of 3 points or a point as realistic.
Yeah, because the other two games coming up, what Harps will be suggesting has been more important, Gavin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, UCD and Drogheda the next two after that. Hugely important. They're the 6-pointers, proverbial 6-pointers at this stage of the season. Even, you know, the way UCD are sort of being cut adrift, if Harps got a couple more wins, you know, they probably could be looking at, yes, we're going to fight it out for a playoff spot with the likes of Drogheda, with the likes of Shelburne, but they'll be much more important games.
Yeah. Is it the sort of game then against Shamrock Rovers that maybe Ollie might give a run out to some of the players that haven't seen much action since the start of the campaign? Because when you see it on the television, there's a number of players there on the bench, and they are particularly young, that maybe, is this the sort of game that you throw them in?
I'm not too sure. I don't think it will. It's probably a tough environment, a tough task to ask them to go on, even though the expectations of the results are not the same. But like, they could, I can't see Ollie doing that. I think he'll play his strongest team that he has available, you know, and see from there and try and set up to try and frustrate Rovers. So he doesn't take many chances with the squad selection anyway, so I can't see it.
Yeah. What did you make of their performance the last day against Shelburne? Obviously, Harps having 2-1s now on the board, both against Shells. Yeah, yeah. How big was that one for them last week?
Huge one. Obviously, at Thun Park, you want to be picking up points against the teams around you, especially. And they really needed it because they hadn't won in, I don't know how many games, was it 8 or 9 before that since they won? So it was really, really, really needed because there was a chance of them being cut adrift from maybe the pack ahead of them if Shelburne had beaten them. So huge result. You could see the players' reaction and getting the winner and how important it was. And it sets them up well. Like, but again, if they didn't get that result, they were looking down the barrel like a bit.
Yeah, it was a great strike by Barry McNamee.
Yeah, great strike. Great dummy by Luke Rudden. And Barry's obviously a very composed footballer, and he picked his spot and struck it well. And great to see it going.
Yeah. So then Harps off to Dublin to Tala to play Shamrock Rovers. We'll have updates from that game on Friday night. Oisin Langan will be there as Harps will look to go to frustrate the defending champions. But Shamrock Rovers, of course, have a different eye on the table compared to that of Finn Harps, Gavin. They're looking to close out Derry City at the top of the table. Derry currently 3 points clear. They're back at home at the Brandywell Stadium, the Ray McBride Brandywell Stadium, up against Bohemians, and you would think going into this game that Derry will be continuing on their winning way, Gavin?
You would. They're very formidable. The minute they look, they're playing with so much energy and charisma, they look like a very settled side. They're a joy to watch. They're the hardest working team in the league, and they're getting their just rewards. They've scored 13 goals in the last two games. Away to St. Pat's, 1-4-0 is a phenomenal result in anybody's books. So they'll be looking to continue with that rich vein of form. And again, Bows are a good side, difficult. They're a bit inconsistent this season, but it's very hard to not see passing or 3 points for Derry on Friday.
Yeah, and I've seen Alan Reynolds in the preview piece he done this week that he's asking Derry to work harder, particularly when they're out of possession, Gavin.
I think they're the hardest working team in the league as far as I can see so far. So, look, if they can step it up and work harder again, they're going to be very formidable.
Yeah. They did, of course, lose to Sligo or to Shamrock Rover or to Shelburne, rather, sorry, a number of weeks ago, and had a couple of draws in there as well. Probably that wee patch coming for them at a good time in the season, because clubs do go through patches as the league progresses. And in that sort of short period, maybe that was the sort of wee shot in the arm that the Candy Stripes needed to get back on their momentum run again.
Yeah, 100%. The UCD game is a big confidence boost. Though they had a couple of poor results. The Shelburne game, they were excellent in the first half and they really were poor in the second half. Shelburne were good. Derry could have put the game to bed by half time that night. They didn't. They got egg in their face. So they recovered well from that, and the last two results have got them back to the level they were at, maybe even improved. So, yeah. Again, Friday will be another test for them.
Yeah, apparently that first half against Pats was the best football they've played all year. Jamie McGonigal was a huge part of that, and he's firing on all cylinders at the minute, Gavin.
Yeah, he looks, any time I've seen him, he looks very, very sharp. He looks hungry. He's not the biggest, but he really puts himself about. He's very physical for a small striker, you know, and he looks like he can get goals in every game.
Yeah. So then what about the rest of the ties? Sligo Rovers off to Shelburne. Rovers will be looking for 3 points on the road, but it's a big game for Damien Duff's side because they'll be looking to bounce back after that defeat to Harps.
Yeah, they'll be hugely disappointed. They've been really inconsistent this season. They've had some fantastic results, winning the Brandywell, and then obviously losing at home to Harps was poor. So they will want to get a level of consistency. We're a quarter away through the season or so. So this team, although it's a new team, it should be starting to get settled as well. So they find their feet. They probably are going to be in around mid-table or lower, but it's very difficult to gauge them at this point.
Yeah, and Dundalk have sort of been lurking outside the top two. They're up to third at the minute now, and Dundalk, of course, had troubles over the last couple of seasons, but they're starting, are they, Gavin, to get back into the form that Dundalk would have been of old?
Yeah, they're quietly going about their business. They're picking up results most weeks, and nobody's really talking about them, and the fact that they're third in the league shows they're doing something right. So, obviously, Stevie and Allen's come in and settled the thing and got a group working for him. And maybe a transfer window or two, they might be back up challenging for titles again if it goes well. So, look, it's good to see a Dundalk team going well because they have great support and stuff as well.
Yeah, you would expect them to beat UCD on Friday, would you?
You would, yeah. I think UCD are struggling. No, obviously in football you never know, and they're due a result. They're going to get a result some week, you know, but they're struggling for goals. They're struggling to create chances and stuff, and it shows the big step up between the two divisions, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose from a UCD point of view as well, their team changes mid-season, doesn't it, Gavin? Because there's players moving away, haven't finished their scholarships
with
college, and so there's a bit of transformation there, which if you're fighting at the bottom end of the table, can't be good at times.
No, it can't. Look, there's pros and cons to that. Sometimes a freshness can help you. Obviously, they're better players coming out of their scholarships and college degrees. They're going to move on to, you know, other League of Ireland clubs or maybe across the water. So they obviously lose their better, more experienced players at that stage. But they take in the freshness and they take in new players. It takes a bit of pressure off the management and that side of it in terms of relegation or fighting relegation, that expectations are slightly different than they are in other football clubs. But at the same time, knowing the management team and stuff, they want to do well and they want to progress and they want to push on. So it's difficult for them. It's very difficult and it's very hard to see how they're going to climb the table at this point.
Yeah, one other tie, Drogheda United against St. Pat's.
Drogheda, St. Pat's, again, Drogheda need the points. Pat's, after a bad defeat last week, you'd expect them to have some sort of bounce back, you know. So, like, I would have thought Pat's would won that one.
Yeah. And just finally noting Georgie Kelly. He stepped up to the mark. We waited a while to see Mr. Kelly in action for Rotherham, but he'll go down as one of the players that helped in making history for the side at the weekend. And it was phenomenal for him to be part of that, Gavin. It was great to see it, wasn't it?
Amazing week for him. It just fell for him, just happened, and he took his goal really well. It sets him up brilliantly for next season. He's obviously had a bit of a slow start since he went there. Well, they're acclimatizing to the squad, and he had a couple of injuries and stuff to get up to that level. But some players go to clubs and it takes them 20, 30 games before they get a goal. But to get a goal in a game of that magnitude, just being on the pitch, it sets him up, and his confidence will be sky high. He'll be going into a pre-season, going into championship football, and look, his opportunities are now, and hopefully he really takes it, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't forget about home, because I know in the interviews afterwards that he was talking about where he was from and where he came from, and to be where he is now in the journey that he was on. But he doesn't forget about home when he goes away.
No, Georgie, he's a very sensible young fellow. He's very grounded. So he's good manners and a really good lad. Always you know, wants to chat and have the crack. Like, so I don't think he'll ever lose that. He's not that type of person. As I say, he took the route slightly different. He studied, he went to college, he done that, and it's worked out well for him. You know, so he's a sensible lad. So he is, so I don't think he'll ever forget that.
Okay. Listen, it's always good to talk to you, and good to see you as well, Gavin. Thanks for joining us this week.
No worries. Thank you.
That's Gavin Cullen in this week's League of Ireland chat. And once again, updates with Oisin Langan from Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night here in Highland as Harps take on Shamrock Rovers. A match tonight locally, Knockalla Caravans Cup semi-final. It's on this evening. Bunnagee United hosting Derry City Reserves. That match is at the Dry Arch Park in Bunnagee. It has just started. Bunnagee, of course, are chasing 3 cups this season. They're already in the Ulster Senior League Cup final and the Northwest of Ulster Intermediate Cup decider. Meanwhile, the second semi-final of that Knockalla between Aileach and Kildrum will be played next weekend. Bunnagee are also in action on Sunday. They play the remaining game in the Ulster Senior League against the champions Cockhill Celtic. Cockhill, of course, were crowned champions for a 9th successive year a number of weeks ago. But both of those sides will clash again on Saturday week the 14th in the Ulster Senior League Cup final, which has been played at Ballyar. And among the games in the Donegal Junior League this weekend, Old Town Celtic are heading to Milford United. That is in Saturday Division 1. A win for Old Town Celtic and they will secure the title. While in Division 2, Dunluce Celtic are taking on Kopiri Rovers. And whoever wins this game will win the Division 2 title. Dunluce currently lead by 2 points ahead of Kopiri. A draw will do for Dunluce, but Kopiri on the road have to win if they are to take the title on the final day. Limited programme of games in the Sunday action in the Premier Division. Kilmacrenan Celtic, of course, will be looking to keep pace with the leaders Bunnagee United. A win for them against Kildrum Tigers will keep them in the title hunt. Of course, the title in the Premier Division has yet to be wrapped up because there is a disciplinary appeals process ongoing at the moment, which could affect the destination of the title at the end of the season. But after this Kilmacrenan game on Sunday, there will be one round of fixtures left in the Premier Division. There is the final run of games also to be played in Division 1 with 5 games taking place on Sunday. And one other fixture finally in the Ulster Junior Cup. It's the final of the competition. That's taking place on Sunday at McGinn Park in Buncrana. It's an all in a show and affair. Aileach FC up against Buncrana Hearts. Extra time and penalties if required on Cup Final Day. 2 o'clock is the kickoff time on Sunday. And that is it from another edition of The Score. Don't forget, if you missed any of the programme, you can go to our website, highlandradio.com. It's all available there. Nick Sport and Highlands after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. Until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.